Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Happy New Year to you in jail.
There's that horrible song.
It does make you feel like everything's coming to an end.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you ought to be optimistic for the future. Okay. New year coming.
My mom hates this song.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't, and for that reason, I never really got into Guy Lombardo.
Remember Guy him? Lombardo, the Super Bowl football trophy guy?
No. That's Lombardi. Guy Lombardo, he was the orchestra that always played that miserable song every New Year back in the day.
I didn't know Guy Lombardo was the guy that played the song.
Yeah, it was his band, the Guy Lombardo Orchestra.
Huh. Well,
we also have Lombardo's Trattoria here in St. Louis, if it's still in business.
Are you related?
Could be.
I knew a Lombardo family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might be a common name, though.
Well, but yeah, I mean, at some point, aren't we all related?
It's a great point. Mm-hmm. He makes a valid point.
I'm related to Taylor Swift.
Oh my gosh, I forgot. Why? Yeah.
Well, I don't know why. It's just it's what the website said.
I think you're entitled to some money, too.
I think so. That's exactly right.
Are you related to Taylor Swift and entitled to compensation?
We got the same musical DNA running through our veins.
We have Matt. What are we doing? Well wishes around the world?
Okay. I want to congratulate everybody in Beijing, Shanghai, Malaysia, Mongolia. All of our listeners there. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, guys. Thanks for listening on the Odyssey app.
Listeners, yes, out in Mongolia and Beijing, no doubt listening on the Odyssey app.
Is there such a thing as Outer Mongolia?
Well,
or is it just Mongolia?
I think it's just Mongolia.
Because it seems like I used to hear people talking about Outer Mongolia.
Wait, which people?
Well, the people talking about it. They would say, you're going to send you to Outer Mongolia.
Outer Mongolia was the name of a territory.
There you go.
During the dynasty of China from 1691 to 1911.
Yeah. See there? That was a little before my time.
It was a little. Not you much. Weren't around in 1911.
I was not. You know who was born in 1911? Ronald Reagan.
Was he really?
He was born in 1911. Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Now he's rolling over in his grave. Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. You know, they don't throw stones at the Glasshouse King. Just hit me outside there.
All right.
Yes.
Well, we do have a texter, and we appreciate your texts, especially on a holiday day when, it's a little thin.
Yeah.
I've noticed the
newscasts are getting shorter all the time around here.
So we appreciate your text at 314-436-7900. Now, the mayor mentioned that McGurk's has brought back French fries, and she had some French fries
She's
there.
She's excited about that.
She is. A lot of texters from all over the world chiming in about the French fries. One, a 314 says, John, a quick message from an old friend.
Oh.
French fries, or frites, as they are originally known,
Frites, I believe.
Frites? First originated in Belgium. I don't know how the name French fries came into being, but if you were ever in Belgium, you will know that they take pride in their frites, and they claim ownership. In fact, it is widely recognized throughout Europe that Belgium is the home of the original French fries.
Well, that's ironic, because, of course, France is the home of the Belgian waffle, which is amazing when you stop and think about it.
Yeah, it is. Frites is frites.
All right.
It's frites. Like,
some call it frites, though.
I don't think so. I've never heard frites.
Well, I've just now.
Hmm. Anyway, this
Pepe
person
Frias
says,
was a baseball player.
Best wishes to you, John, Amy, and the entire KMWX family for a wonderful new year.
Isn't that lovely?
We have another texter said.
What a lovely sentiment.
It's a wonderful sentiment. Also a texter. We were talking about being a loser if you watch New Year's Eve programming tonight.
Yeah.
This 314 says, so if your family and friends have the New Year's Eve programming on in the background, do all the big L's turn into big W's?
They do.
Since you are with a crowd.
Yeah. If you're hanging out with a bunch of people and Ryan Seahawk or whatever his name is talking. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you do not have to brandish the L on your forehead at that point.
There you go. We also have well wishes. Here's what happens. We wished Happy New Year to our listeners in Mongolia and Beijing.
Shanghai.
Parts of Siberia.
Oh, Odyssey app. Even in Siberia.
How many time zones in Siberia, I wonder?
Multiple.
It's got to be a couple.
So we wished them, and guess what we're getting back?
What?
Same thing. Here's one. Happy New Year and happy birthday to KMOX.
That's nice of them.
I know.
And you know, our 100th birthday we celebrated recently. Did you guys know that?
We did.
No. I had that special day of programming back in, what was it, November the...
20th.
Yes.
11/20.
Yes. And
and then again on the real birthday on Christmas Eve.
Right. And so I had people come up, stop me on the street, and they'd say, I could listen to that every day. Well, you pretty much have had your chance.
Tomorrow, too. New Year's Day. Playing again.
10 hours.
I do want to note, in all seriousness, we also did launch a special website for KMOX and the 100th anniversary. It's KMOX100.com. KMOX100.com. It's actually very, very cool. You know, you can look at a gallery of all these photos from old KMOX era to KMOX pioneers. Obviously, you can access the 100th anniversary broadcast, old KMOX ads, which is really fun, but all the old voices and the history in KMOX.
And the best part of it, unlike tomorrow, you can FF through that thing if there's something. Just hit the old FF on there. We do have that function on the Odyssey app.
Matt, do you even know what FF means?
I think he means fast forward.
Yes, he does. He does. Okay, here's a quick question. We're going to get deep in the last couple minutes here.
I love getting deep.
John and Matt, was 2025 a good year for you or a bad year for you? Or conversely, what are you also looking forward to in 2026?
Go ahead, Peach.
We can hear from you, 314-436-7900. Get it off your chest. Was it a good year, a bad year? What are you hoping for?
I'd say mostly neutral for me, but if I had to lean one way, I'd say pretty darn good year. I moved into a new apartment in Clayton, which is my favorite place I've ever lived so far. It's amazing. Wow. I love it. Got to see a lot of friends. Got to see a lot of family.
Clayton is the Manhattan of the suburbs.
That's exactly right. I've got a parlor now. I'm doing pretty well.
You have a parlor?
Wow.
I've got a couch in the dining room.
To be fair, to this gentleman, this young man.
Yeah.
Ladies.
Yeah.
Oh.
You better hurry up.
Oh, he's going to get gobbled up like
that.
He's going to get gobbled up like crankbait in the Lake of the Ozarks.
Because he has three couches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I like to host. I like to have people over.
You have a couch in the dining room?
A couch in the dining room. You know, it was kind of a second thought or like an afterthought. And like, well, what do I do with this third couch? A third in the dining room.
Have you ever told a lady friend, if she came over to your apartment, that you have three couches for you, me, and Ranj? Yeah. Like, we all live there.
Yeah. I should have.
That's the whole show.
Yeah, we all live together. We work together.
Well, so we're giving 2025 a plus. A check.
Yeah,
so
far,
so
good. You. Yeah. What else? I'm sorry.
That's, boy, I think it's been pretty much neutral other than that. As far as 2026 goes, I want to really focus more on maybe being more present with the present. Like, I want to spend more time away from some of the distracting technology that we talk so much about. I want to read more. I want to be more active with music and play more of my guitar, things like that. Try to get away from endlessly scrolling Instagram and Twitter. Yeah. That's my resolution.
That's a great resolution. I'm slowly working towards that resolution. I've set time limits on my phone, on Instagram and Twitter. And Matt has taken it a step further. He got an old school alarm clock. So now he's got his phone in a different room because I still use my phone as an alarm. And sometimes I will listen to something like before I go to sleep.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Screen time before bedtime is a bad time.
It's bad.
It's really, really bad. What about you, John?
Great year. Loved 2025. Celebrated 35 years of marriage,
nice.
Many of which were quite excellent. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And welcomed my first grandson into the world in 2025. That was very good. And, you know, we had Michael Kelly's 50th birthday party. That was fun. And
that was when Matt left the party with a 25-pound plastic bag of mashed potatoes
that I paid for.
Yeah, thanks.
Congratulations, buddy. It was. I ordered way too much food. What was I thinking? 2025 was a great year, and I'm looking very forward to 2026.
Well, excellent. Do you have anything specific for 2026?
I'm looking to rekindle my career as a teacher.
Nice.
Yes.
I love that.
So I met with a fellow yesterday who runs a university in town here, and if things work out, by the fall semester, I'll be Professor Hancock.
Where at?
Well, are you really?
Missouri Baptist University.
Wow.
John.
Yes.
That is so awesome. And I don't want to say that we helped facilitate this. And that the Chris and Amy show is the reason why you're living out your dream.
Yes.
But you are going to give us a history lesson at 11:30.
Oh, I forgot
about
that.
Aren't we going to get a little glimpse of Professor Hancock at 11:30?
It might happen.
I hope it happens.
Because if it doesn't happen, I don't know what the heck we're going to talk about.
It's going to be a history lesson on French fries, too, I heard.
Yeah. Not many people know as much about French fries as I do.
That's true. That's true.
I think we've established.
What about you, Amy?
2025 was not my favorite year. Huh. Not going to lie.
Huh.
It was, I don't want to get technical, some will say kind of a sucky year.
Huh.
That's what they call it. But even in hard years, there are moments that are really
fun.
In the
midst of all of the suckiness of
life,
you found a few little morsels of wonderfulness.
That's right. Do you know what I did for the first time ever in 2025?
What's that?
I went last minute. Spur of the moment, solo week-long ski trip.
Wow.
Completely solo. I didn't even meet a friend there. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going and I'll meet up with some friends. I threw my gear into the back of my Subaru Outback, John.
Whoa.
Made sure the oil was changed and the tires were rotated.
Yeah, that's important too.
And I drove myself out to Colorado.
Did you now?
I did. And then for a week, I skied and cross-country skied, so I downhill skied, cross-country skied, and snowshoed.
Ooh.
And then drove myself on back to St. Louis, and it was so much fun.
So were you making your own dinner then?
Yeah, but I didn't even go out to dinner. I just picked up some groceries, you know, and would ski all day, come home, get all warm, I'm a big fan of the rotisserie chicken, John.
Yeah?
I ate a lot of the rotisserie chicken. Before we break, let's get to Rick calling in from Florissant. Hey, Rick.
Hi. 2025 was largely a bad year for me because my house was hit by the 314 tornado, which seems to have gone ignored by the media. But I'm reminded every day about it because I have neighbors whose houses still have not been repaired.
Yeah.
That's
rough. I'm really sorry.
Yeah,
I'm really sorry. And it was an awful spring. I know I'm trying to think of who I was talking to. Anyway, thank you very much, Rick. I'm so sorry about your family, your home, I mean. We were talking about that, how the year started so rough and those March tornadoes really did wreak havoc. And then, of course, we talked about what happened in May. Well, I hope that is...
I remember in March... We all thought the Cardinals were going to be good.
Well, that was true. There was a lot of hope then. Here we go. From 314, three couches. Wow. Sounds like Matt is having the KMOX New Year's Eve party at his place tonight with the appropriate Seacrest Cooper programming on in the background.
We'll
are you
about that.
Hosting the party?
I guess so. I wasn't planning on being there tonight, but you guys can come on over. I'm not going to be there.
Oh.
And 636 tonight will be the 75th time in a row watching the ball drop live on TV in Times Square. I haven't missed a year since 1950, regardless of where I was.
Well,
happy 2026 to you guys.
And happy 75. That's a good milestone to make it to. I doubt that he remembers the 1950 New Year celebration.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Or she. But, you know, God bless them.
And here we go as we go to break. John and Amy and Matt, blessings for the new year. Just returned from California, celebrating Christmas with my daughter's family. I believe it says for the first time since 2010.
Nice.
Yeah.
California would be a good place to be for New Year's.
That's awesome. He's John Hancock. I'm Amy Mark Scores. Keep it coming on New Year's Eve, 314-436-7900. Okay, John, this is kind of a downer of a topic, and I apologize, but I wanted to ask you.
Oh, thanks, Amy.
I know. Well, because you're an institutionalist.
Yes, I am.
And I
or
did.
Or should be institutionalized.
Either way, you're the one for us.
Yes.
We did talk to Major Garrett, CBS Chief Washington correspondent, about this when it happened. But basically, there was a special bill called the Give Kids a Chance Act on that was killed by Bernie Sanders. So the Give Kids a Chance Act was a piece of legislation that was aimed at helping pediatric cancer patients by giving them access to all these comprehensive drug treatments.
All right.
We talk about pediatric cancer doesn't get nearly the funding as other cancers. Also, these drug treatments, we want to make it available for kids. So there is a fast track process where if it passes like through the Senate, if a bill passes through the Senate unanimously, vote in the chamber, it could then bypass several steps, which typically involve like the committee process
amendments.
And rules for debate, all of mm-hmm. that. Yep. And it can just move straight along. So this bill has been something that kids and parents have been pushing for years and years and years and years. And it's gotten stuck, as so many things do, in bills and disagreements in Congress. So finally, a bipartisan consensus got together and said, let's push this act through, the Give Kids a Chance Act. And they thought it was going to go through, I think it was last week, in the Senate.
Yeah.
And so much so that a bunch of kids who are sick with cancer went to Washington because they're going to celebrate parents who have lost kids, whose kids have died from cancer while this bill has languished. Yeah. We're going there. And as the vote was going through, one lone senator, Bernie Sanders, voted against it. And his lone vote killed the bill.
Oh.
And a lot of senators were absolutely
irate
because here thinking that this bipartisan, it was the Michaela Nalon Give Kids a Chance Act, she has passed away, thought it would be passed unanimously so we could move forward with this. But of course, Bernie Sanders wants more comprehensive health care in the country, and he voted against
it
for leverage.
And that's why, because he wants socialized medicine.
Yes.
You do a pretty good Bernie Sanders impersonation, if memory serves.
I forgot I haven't done, it's just one sentence. I want to know about those beans.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's horrible. You know, we used to have, I was in the legislature, we had this thing called the consent calendar.
Okay.
And it's all the bills that passed out of committee unanimously. And they put it on one night. Usually it was a Tuesday night late in the session. And they'd call it run the consent calendar. And you'd vote on 100 bills. And so old George, I won't use his last name, but he'd been in the legislature for quite some time, and he liked to go out and drinking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so one year I was there, and George was not on the floor for the consent count. You don't want to miss 100 votes because that doesn't look good when you run for reelection. So George wasn't there, and he was out drinking. And so they said, and I looked up the first bill, they ring the board, and sure enough, George votes yes. I thought, this is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Next bill, you know, ring. George votes yes. And I'm like, he's not there. So I go over to his desk. He's got a paperclip stuck in his green button. Yeah, I thought, this is terrible, you know. So anyway, we finally get down to the official tree nut of Missouri, Bill. The eastern
the important stuff?
Yeah.
The eastern walnut?
The eastern black walnut. Yep. Somebody wanted to make it the official tree nut of Missouri and put it in the state manual and so forth. And they made the mistake, did the eastern black walnut farmers, of placing one of these things on everybody's desk. So I popped that sucker open and I stuck it in my mouth and it was nasty.
Yeah,
it's pungent. It's not I love walnuts.
Yeah,
but the eastern black walnut tastes like garbage. So I took to the microphone, and I went on a soliloquy about how horrible this eastern black walnut. Why would we make something this nasty, the official anything of the state of Missouri? And I said, Mr. Speaker, I've got an amendment, and so. They send the amendment forward. So I sent my amendment forward, and I struck the words Eastern Black Walnut and replaced them with Dirty Socks. And I said, Mr. Speaker, if there are five members standing, I would request a roll call. And so sure enough, George voted for it, you know. He sobered up the next day and had to correct the record.
Well, speaking of soliloquies, I actually had a question about the whole process because I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
If that's how it should work, as far as like one vote killing a bipartisan bipartisan bill in a process, but now we're out of time.
Well, you have me to thank for that, Amy. And George.
Now we're out of time. Mm. John Hancock, you're a gem. You should be the official tree nut of Missouri.
I should. That's all what right. The amendment should have said.
All right. Next is the Midday Midlife with Paula Almgren. She's an author who's written about taking care of elder parents. And this is a real issue for a lot of listeners out there, taking care of kids and aging parents. And we'll talk with Paula Almgren next on the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. John Hancock, Amy Mark Scores with you on this New Year's Eve. Well, it is time for our midweek, midday, midlife, discussing all the topics that, I don't know, if you're 35, 40, 45, you might be dealing with. And joining us now is Paula Almgren. She is the author of Elder Care, The Rules, Navigating the Legal, Financial, Medical, Housing, and Care Maze. She is an attorney specializing in estate planning, elder law, and life care. And she joins us now. Paula, it's so nice to talk to you this morning.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
You know, it's funny that I'm having this conversation. I am so I'm 42, and my parents are cooler and more capable than I am. So I always joke that my retirement plan is moving back in with my parents so they can just take care of me again because they're doing great. I'm struggling. They're doing great. But we see, we laugh because we see these commercials, right? Like obviously taking care of your parents, especially as people live longer and longer, it has become an issue for so many Americans. And a lot of times, Americans who are also taking care of their own kids at the same time. And it can really be a lot to juggle. I just kind of an overview right now. In your experience, I mean, how many Americans seem to be dealing with this issue right now of taking care of mom and dad?
Well, in the intro, you said 35, 40, 45, but it's a huge amount of people.
Yeah.
It's 1 in 5 people in the U.S. are taking care of an aging family member right now. Mm. AARP. AARP is always the greatest source of all this information because they have all the data. So it's very common. And the ages, you know, it can be, I mean, I have 70-year-old kids taking care of their 90-something-year-old parents. So it's a huge range.
Do you know, Paul, I'm so glad you brought that up. It was a group actually from my Bible study. They have this when it was really, really cold here in St. Louis last year. Single-digit temperatures. There was an older man across the street who's in his 90s, but his son is like 75. And the 75-year-old was taking care of the 90-year-old, and I'm thinking, well, wait, who's taking care of the 75-year-old? So there might be people who are taking care of two generations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Yes, it's not just parents with young children and then wow. Children taking care of parents, right? It's a variety of ages because people do live longer and most people at some point do need care, you know? So planning for the care is everything. Like putting a plan in place, thinking about, and you know, when I didn't even realize this till I wrote the book, but care isn't just about the care piece. It's, you know, the legal, financial, medical, housing, and care. So like get your estate planning documents in order. You know, if you all of a sudden can't pay your bills and you need help financially, or you just need help financially, maybe you can still pay your bills, who's going to be your power of attorney? Who is going to be able to have the power to take care of all of your financial things? It can be more than one person. Sometimes people name, you know, their spouse and their son, you know, Joe, whoever. Either one may act alone. So you've got to put that in place because if all of a sudden you can't make your own financial decisions, then you have to go to a court to decide. So we don't want that. We want it to be your decision, and we want you to pick your correct people. And then if your son Joseph isn't available, then your daughter Alice can come in. So, you know, you need to line up your people. And same with the health care. You know, so financial, power of attorney, wills, trust. Medical is your healthcare proxy, your HIPAA letter. Most states, you can only have one healthcare agent serving at a time because they don't want one person to say, do the surgery, and the other kid to say, hey, don't touch them. You know, so name your people, line them up, and make sure you put their cell numbers.
Yeah,
because that's how else are we going to reach them?
Yeah, that's a real thing because when mom or dad is in a trauma and there are two or three or four kids, you know, then it becomes decision by committee, you know, what are you doing with the feeding tube? So that's very prudent advice to get that all taken care of. And in terms of one's assets, you need to really think about not ending up in probate court with a lot of assets because that could be a real pain.
Right. Probate court is if you die and you own an asset just in your name, you have to go to probate court or your executor does after you die to get control of the assets to then distribute them. But if you have a trust and you put those same assets in a trust and you're the trustee and it works under your social security number, now you become incapacitated, not just die. Because you're incapacitated, your trustee can handle all your decisions. You're dead, your trustee can distribute your assets, but it's not involving the probate court. Simple, yeah. Private, your business stays your business. Nobody knows who your kids are, how much money you have, that you're leaving some money for your pets, that maybe you're leaving some money for your church, your synagogue, or other charities. Like, it can all stay private within the family.
So then if, you know, an aging parent wanting to make sure that they're planning ahead, and it could be, you know, a group effort, I guess, with kids as well, making sure your parent has all of these things in order. Yes, I mean, I wouldn't even be able to think about all of this. But, you know, if you have multiple kids, so you're saying pick one child who's going to make the most of those decisions?
Well, it depends. So having the conversation, which is where you were starting, like, let's all talk about it. What do you want, mom and dad, right? So having a conversation with the family, I think is really helpful, because the kids have all these fears, right? They're like, what if you fall? What if you this? What if that happens? What if you go, you know? So you look at your home. Most people want to stay home to begin with, but people have to also be open-minded and willing to say, you know what? I might need to move to assisted living someday, right? Where you get your own apartment, it's a lockable door, you know, but, you know, someone does your laundry and can help with your meds and things like that. Sometimes I feel people dig in at home a little too long, and then they're putting themselves at, like, you know, risk. But how do you, if you want to stay home, well, let's make the home a place where you can stay. Like, no more dragging the garbage cans down the driveway, okay? Like, you need to get the, you pay the extra $10 a week or whatever it is, and they'll just come to the garage and pick up, you know, the garbage cans. And some people don't have their mailboxes on their houses, so get the mailbox on the house. Don't put the washer and dryer. Don't go downstairs or upstairs, you know, like, so there's all these, get rid of the throw rugs. These are like such basic things, but these are the things that hurt people all the time. So, you know, like, I would look at the house and you would say, okay, how do we make this house like senior friendly so that like it's possible? I mean, anybody can fall at any time. You could fall right next to me. I can't stop you from falling, right? So, but like, where do you want to live? And then how do we make the house like as safe as possible? Do we put in cameras? Are there apps? You know, there's all sorts of technology too that really helps people. And then would you be open to assisted living? Where, what kind of place would you like? You know, what happens if you ever really did need skilled care? Do you have long-term care insurance? Can you get it? Can you still get it? You know, you can get long-term care insurance until age, you know, 85, and some, you know, it depends. So like, are there other things that we can do to help, you know, with the care expenses? You know, and where do you get the care?
Yeah. And you talk about the home and making sure that it's appropriate as someone does age. AARP reports that 75% of older Americans want to age in place.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I'm guessing that's number has gone up in previous years. Maybe, I'm not sure. I imagine COVID was kind of traumatic for a lot of people, especially those in assisted living. So aging in place, aside from what you just said, like making sure the home is outfitted, is appropriate, what else would you need to do to make sure your mom or dad can age in place?
So, you know, can you get to the bathroom, right? Like, so sometimes people have a fall, and then they need to go to a skilled nursing rehab or a rehab center because they can't access their bathroom, right? So that's another thing. So, you know, an occupational therapist, they'll come into the home and they'll evaluate your home and they'll make a bunch of recommendations. Like, this is what I recommend you do to try to make this an age in place, you know, kind of home. So I like that because I think it's just objective information for families to go from there. And then, how are you going to pay for the care? Like, so that's important. And that needs to be a discussion because, you know, people really don't want their kids to be their hands-on caregivers. They want their kids to be their care advocates, like their fighter, you know, like, don't touch my mother. What are you doing? You know, that kind of thing. So how are we going to pay for care? So we do this like asset, income, fixed costs, and then different care levels spreadsheet, because when people can look at their numbers on a piece of paper and it's not emotional, I think it really helps them kind of plan ahead. And so like if I have a wartime veteran or a widow of a wartime veteran, you know, there's money if they have a shortfall of care costs, you know, so the veteran has to have served one day active duty during an official declaration of war. There's a certain asset level. They have to need care. And they also have to have a shortfall of care costs. So let's say they're paying $4,000 a month for care at home, and the income, and it's a veteran with a spouse, and the income is $3,000 combined, they have a $1,000 shortfall. So they could apply for the veteran pension with aid in attendance, and it ends up being $2,874 a month tax-free from the VA towards their shortfall of care costs. And that's like $34,000 a year. So that's a big chunk of money that a lot of veterans aren't even aware that is available to them or their spouses. My veterans love when they know, oh my gosh, this benefit's available to my spouse. And, you know, the spouse can get $18,697 a year towards her shortfall of care costs.
Paula Almgren is our guest. She's the author of Elder Care, The Rules, Navigating the Legal, Financial, Medical, Housing, and Care Maze. She's an attorney specializing in elder law planning. Paula, at our house, my wife's father, my father-in-law, who'll be 90 this year, he lives with us now. And so we installed a chairlift and retrofitted the bathrooms and so forth. And it's been a tremendous blessing to him and to us. And and his great grandchildren come and visit him 2 days a week, and
it's the best thing ever.
It's life giving, and you know, and I think you know some families may think, I don't think I can take care of mom in our here at our house. It's a blessing. Plus, the chairlift's in place for me in about 20 years, so I'm ready.
You got the chairlift,
yeah.
And we don't mean the skiing chairlift.
Yeah. Do we see a lot of that kind of situation?
Yes, I think that works well for some families. Sometimes the families, though, want to say, okay, what if dad needs more care than we can give? Like, is there other ways we can get caregivers in? Can we pick our own caregivers? You know, because a lot of families, they want to know who's coming into their house. I mean, your house, your spouse, your children, your great-grandchildren, your grandchildren. And so who's coming in and like, how, or can we get the kids paid as caregivers? You know, so, and should dad be paying rent? You know, like there's so many things that I would look at in that situation. And I would just brainstorm with your dad and his family. And then I would tell them all of the options. And then they could make educated decisions about like, yeah, dad should pay some rent. Because then that's if he ever needs a nursing home, which hopefully he doesn't, then, you know, he's paying his way and that's less money. Or maybe we just have him pay the utilities and expenses or, you know, so there's a lot of things to look at. But I think it's amazing. I think kids are great caregivers. Grandchildren are even better caregivers because they don't have all the family dynamic. Mm-hmm. You know, I see a lot of that for sure.
You know, it's such a tough thing when parents are getting older. And they live, you know, live alone, whether it's the mom and dad or just the mom or just the dad. How do you know when it's not safe for mom or dad to live alone anymore?
Well, there's a lot of signs. More frequent falls, you know, confusion, things happen, like people have fires sometimes. I mean, like things, you know, there's signs. There's usually signs. Some people are like, okay, this isn't safe for me anymore. I need more care. You know, I still want to stay home, but we need to get me more care. Or sometimes it's really just not safe and, you know, they're unable to really navigate their house anymore. But people are very creative, and sometimes they'll move to assisted living or sometimes they'll try different things in the home. So frequent falls are one, frequent hospitalizations, you know, confusion where there's a worry, like if something happened, could you call 911? I mean, like, you know, when people have memory or other kind of cognitive, limitations, that gets a little bit scarier because even frail people, if they're cognitively intact, they can get the help they need. You know, they can wear those linked to life kind of things, you know, where you push the button. Those are real. Or a lot of people are getting watches because older people don't like to wear the things around their neck or on their wrist. They will use the watches and you can call for help from your watch, you know. So there's a lot of different ways to approach it. But and there's those signs, you know, but it's always tricky.
Well, Paula Almgren, thank you so much for joining us today. And we would love to have you on again because there are so many questions, more questions that go along with all of this. We've even got our text line people with more questions. So we would love to chat with you. And if you are listening and would like to learn more about Paula Almgren and the new book, Elder Care, The Rules, you can do so at BerkshireLawGroup.com. Find out more information and pick up Paula's book. Paula, thank you again and happy New Year's Eve.
Happy New Year's Eve and thank you for having me.
Thank you. That is Paula Almgren. And yeah, we'll have to talk to her again because there are so many questions surrounding that. You see that? You always see the commercials for that A Place for Mom.
Yes.
Like I said, I'm going to have to go there before my mom and dad because They're kicking and doing fine. They take care of me.
Well, they're young. You've got your parents are young.
They're really young. Yeah. So, well, John Hancock, Amy Mark scores. The show continues next on KMOX. We were talking about, you know, taking care of aging parents and so forth, and obviously assisted living. We used to call them old folks homes, which they don't say that anymore.
Right.
My grandma would always go, oh, the old folks home. But anyway, you know, that's a big industry here. I was talking to my good friend who's from Peru, and really in, you know, Latin America, South America, those types of assisted living facilities or retirement facilities really aren't a thing. You have multiple generations, the more common thing.
Right.
And that's what my friend said. He goes, oh, in Peru, we don't have nursing homes. He's like, mom and dad live together. Goes, sometimes you have three generations, obviously, of people, four generations living together.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I know doesn't work for everybody. And
much of the
I
world
understand.
Is that way, actually. A lot of the Asian countries, very similar cultures in that way.
We were pretty old-fashioned. I always joke that we're like my family, that we're progressive Amish people, like compared to the rest of the world. And so a lot of the kids, or really the girls, I should say, too. We were mostly girls, though. we just stayed at home a little bit longer. And I think we didn't like move out at 18 or move out at 22. Like, we stayed home a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Partly because I was trying to make it as a writer and I had no money. That was part of it. But, you know, the having adult kids live at home or multiple generations was not that uncommon. And it was always my friends from South America or the Middle East, who said, your family looks like my family at home, where you had multiple generations living together, which you don't see as much in the United States.
No, you don't. And, you know, when you're younger and you really don't even think about, to think about, you know, at some point, mom and dad, you know, you're going to have at least four parents in a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
Well, anyway, like I said, I have this thing. It's called The Plan.
The Plan.
Capital T, capital P.
Yeah.
And I remind my parents of it. I think it gives my dad acid reflux. But it's my plan. My retirement plan is to move back in with my parents, and we'll be the three best friends that anybody's ever had.
Huh. I'm planning my retirement party right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Because you're becoming a professor?
No, my retirement party is going to be at Pope Chapel.
Oh, my gosh.
And you're all invited.
Oh, well, there you go. Did you pick out a song? I've got all sorts of ideas for my funeral.
I got the box figured out, but I haven't picked the songs yet.
Well, I will say this. I've got my funeral is just going to be one giant bit with my brother, because I've got all these things that I think would be hilarious at my funeral. So my poor brother has like a stand-up routine he needs to give. At any rate, he's John Hancock. We're not dead yet. Actually, that is what we're talking about next. But we are going to have one more.
What a segue.
No,
incredible.
It was too much of a segue. It was inappropriate. One more hour of the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.